Hello and welcome back to Zach's Tech Talk Tuesday. Welcome to the latest episode of the show. My name is Ryan McQueenie, your host as always. Today we are going to be talking about video games and esports. It's been a while since we talked about esports. It's been a while since we really covered much in the gaming business, but specifically this esports side of the business is generating a ton of momentum recently. And I think it's going over relatively quietly for those of us in the investing community. It's huge news over in the esports world, kind of the progress and the development of the business side of things. I just don't think it's getting enough buzz on our side of the business, and that's looking for those investing opportunities. So why do we as tech fans or tech investors care about esports? Well, first of all, or why should we care is really what I should say. And I think the answer is that the business of video games carries a lot of clout in the tech world, whether we realize it or not. It's a big business, no doubt, but it's also played a role in the evolution of tech and media in recent years. And I think the best way to kind of see where this, one of the best illustrations of this kind of merger of the two ideas or this intersection of tech and media and innovation and video games and business is evidenced by the addition of gaming companies to that new S&P communication sector, the same group of companies that the likes of Netflix have been lumped into because of what Netflix is doing with video streaming and how that's kind of evolved communications and media. That's where the likes of Activision Blizzard, which we're going to be talking about extensively, are now considered by the S&P. And I think, you know, just keeping that Netflix example, it's really not that far off some of these major video game companies in terms of innovation. And I think the way that we can see that is by the advent of digital gaming over the last several years. The fact that, you know, you're really not going and buying physical copies of games anymore. These are things that are being purchased and downloaded online, largely played online. They're all about the community and the communication between players around the world. So I think that's kind of how we can think about video games and esports right now as investors. And the other thing, of course, is that business side and how much money it's bringing in. I think anytime we see a growing business, anytime we see something making money, we know as investors we can make money too. And so how much money are we making here? The global esports economy is expected to grow to more than 905 million this year. And this is according to market research firm Newzoo. They have a great look at the esports business that I would definitely recommend if you're interested in this beyond what I'm going to cover today. And that 905 million would be year over year growth of 38%, which is just really great, really strong growth numbers. Not blowing anything out of the water, not too crazy, but definitely really healthy growth that is expected to continue over some time now. And so how does that break out? Well, about 77% of this cash is going to be generated directly through sponsorships and advertising and indirectly through media rights and content licenses. Game publisher fees are expected to account for 13% of this year's economy, while merchandise and event ticketing will bring in about 10%. Newzoo in this report, which again I highly recommend, kind of describes the state of the business in terms of what an investor's perspective might be on it. So I want to just pull this quote on it out from here. Quote, "As a business, esports is now entering a new and critical phase towards maturity. Big investments have been made, new league structures have been launched, sponsorship budgets have moved from experimental to continuous, and international media rights trade is starting to heat up," end quote there. So what does that tell us? Well, you know, it's the key word I think in that quote is maturity. This is a maturing business, which is again why I call that growth rate of 38% healthy, not this staggering, ridiculous growth, because it's not infantile anymore. It is maturing. We're starting to see some of the key elements of it get fleshed out. And I want to talk about one of those key elements. It's actually the smallest factor in terms of what a new zoo is saying is generating the revenue. And that's the merchandise and event ticketing, which is accounting for about 10% of revenue in the business right now. We learned some big things this week about merchandise in the esports game, in the esports world, that inspired me to do this episode today. It was some news that broke yesterday. It had to do with Activision Blizzard, one of the biggest video game publishers in the world, a company that this week signed a multi-year licensing deal with online sports retailer Fanatics. Fanatics is going to be the exclusive home for Overwatch League merchandise. The Overwatch League is Blizzard's own professional competition for Overwatch, which is, of course, one of the world's most popular online games. And Fanatics, if you're a fan of sports merchandise, you've heard of, because it's an official partner of NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, and NASCAR. Basically, all the major leagues there in the United States. It's now adding an official partnership with Overwatch, kind of its first foray officially into the esports world. Why did Blizzard want to do this? Well, as Daniel Siegel, the head of esports licensing for Blizzard, the one part of the Activision Blizzard umbrella, said to ESPN yesterday, quote, "It's no secret who the 800-pound gorilla of the sports licensed apparel market is. That's Fanatics," end quote. So for Activision Blizzard, it was a no-brainer. You know, we want to get the number one guy in online sports retail, and that's Fanatics. For Fanatics, it's almost the same kind of thing. Hey, if we want to get into esports, let's get the number one guy. There's obviously a handful of games and a handful of major leagues that you could consider that. But I think when you look at what the Overwatch League is and how it's been structured, it's definitely one of the most exciting here in the United States specifically. A couple of cool things. It's got a geographical-based, the Esports League, Overwatch League, excuse me, has a geography-based kind of arrangement. So, you know, obviously you don't really need to have a home court to play these games, and a lot of the tournaments take place different places, but Overwatch League kind of fleshed it out like a traditional American sports league where there is a city and a mascot for each team. So it kind of spurs up passion through, you know, local fans as a U.S. league would do in any of those other competitions. It introduced the Overwatch League was introduced in January this year, when it first started, January 2018. Drew in more than 10 million viewers in the opening week. And this is a game, Overwatch, that has over 40 million players worldwide. Activision has also recently inked a multi-year deal with Disney to air the Overwatch Esports League on ESPN Primetime, Disney XD, and other Disney-owned streaming services. So this is a company, this is a league now with media rights deals, with pretty healthy minimum player salaries, with plans to grow from X number of teams to X number of teams, with millions of dollars in franchise fees needed to start a new team. I mean, this is coming together like something that's very familiar to sports fans, because it is very obviously a sports league. And now with this major merchandise deal with a big sports retailer, it's added even more legitimacy and fleshed out the business in another way. The deal between Blizzard and Fanatics is also not the only piece of news in this area. It marks the second major esports merchandising deal in recent months, in the past month, I should say. The other one I would want to point out is between esports merchandising company We Are Nations and the North American League of Legends Championship Series. So this one's a little bit different because We Are Nations is specifically already an esports merchandising company. I think it's potentially more notable that a company like Fanatics, which is known for sports retail, is kind of co-signing esports as an idea that can be merchandised, if I can make that a verb. Whereas We Are Nations is kind of already specifically focusing on esports apparel. But I find it interesting because that North American League of Legends Championship Series, I was going to make it an acronym, but then I realized I didn't have it written down in my notes in front of me, and I was definitely going to mess up the acronym live. But anyway, We Are Nations is going to represent the premier North American League for League of Legends. This is run by developer Rioter. Excuse me. This is run by developer Riot Games. So this is another one where the developers is running the league itself. We Are Nations, the company, the esports, the merchandise company, is going to be handling all the sales and distribution for the apparel, both online and in person, which I would assume they're going to be having running like official merchandising booths at live events for this competition. I just wanted to point out also that this is kind of interesting for tech investors because Riot Games is owned by Chinese tech behemoth Tencent, which is, of course, one of a handful of these major Chinese tech stocks that we always talk about here in the States, kind of a read on the Chinese web economy, if you will. These stocks have, for their own reasons, been struggling this year, but certainly generate a lot of discussion whenever we bring them up. So this is if you're coming at this from a purely investing perspective, you can get some exposure to esports with a company like Tencent. Obviously, Activision Blizzard, ATVI is the ticker there. Also a good option if you'd like to get some exposure to esports. Back to Riot Games, though, specifically. I thought this quote from Chris Hopper, who's the head of esports for North America at Riot Games, was pretty interesting. Before I even get into what he said, though, I just want to highlight again. His name is Chris Hopper. He's the head of esports for North America. So this is where we're at with these types of positions, with these types of roles. These companies know that this is a key growth catalyst. There are people specifically focused on how do we take our game and flesh out a professional competition from the intellectual property that we've developed. It's a really interesting thing that's happened because obviously they weren't, you know, some of these games weren't necessarily constructed originally, I would assume, with the idea that we can have a high level professional competition based around it. But that's what's happened when you make these online competitions available within the game's kind of story or platform, is people get really freaking good at it, and they want to play against other people who are really freaking good. They want to play for a lot of money, and it's kind of a natural way that this has developed over the past few years, and these companies know this, and they have people, teams, really just geared towards how do we make this ready for competition? How do we work with the best players in the world and make them want to play our game at a high level? So anyway, Chris Hopper said, quote, "We're excited to work with We Are Nations to deliver a new line of official game day jerseys to our fans. NALCS fans have been asking for more league and team apparel, and We Are Nations is the perfect partner to help us deliver high-quality merchandise to them both online and in person this upcoming season." So online and in person, as I mentioned. Cool that there's going to be online retail version of this, and you're also going to be able to get merch like you would at any sort of sporting event. But the thing that I want to highlight, because it's just crazy to me how cool this is all coming together, official game day jerseys. If you've ever watched an esports competition, you kind of know what they look like. They're got some sponsorships on it, got some cool designs. Maybe, obviously, you don't really need some of the more like sports-specific, competition-specific features in the jerseys that maybe some sports do need. But yeah, I mean, you're going to see people rocking esports jerseys like you would see anybody, you know, hanging out at a bar rocking a baseball jersey, because it's the team they like and the team they cheer for and they want to wear it around. I mean, it might seem foreign right now, but this is something that's definitely going to become normal relatively quickly. And I think when I was talking about this story yesterday with someone in Zach's offices here, I was like, you remember, middle school, you would have like jersey theme days. It would be some sort of specific theme week. And then one day everybody would wear their jerseys. Kids are going to be rocking esports jerseys to those. Like now, like this is a thing happening right now. People are that geeked up about esports and these professional leagues and competitions. And I personally think that's cool. And I think it's cool that we'll be able to see, you know, game day esports jerseys on the streets relatively soon. You'll be able to see it on ESPN, buy things online, follow it anywhere you go. It's wild how quickly and how big this business is all coming together. The final thing I want to leave you with some consideration here, the last point I want to make about how much clout esports is carrying right this very moment, was this past week, International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach said that esports had been among the items on the agenda during the IOC's executive meetings last week in Tokyo. Yeah, the IOC just added the lacrosse to the Olympic Games. How about esports? I don't think it was not officially added, of course, but it was talked about by the International Olympic Committee. So I guess you can eat crow if you thought this was never going to be a serious sport, because one of the biggest governing bodies of sport and competition in the entire world was chatting this past week about whether esports deserve IOC consideration to be in the Olympics. Now, they didn't add it, but if you look into Bach's comments, it wasn't, no, esports will never get added, it's not a real sport. It was, we can't ignore how big this is getting and how important this is getting, and the fact that people want us to think about whether esports should be in the Olympics. So don't be surprised if that's a point of discussion over the next several years, over the next few Olympics, is maybe you'll see those things crop up, which leads me to wonder, is it a summer game or is it a winter game? Not quite sure. Maybe we'll find out in the next few years. That's going to do it for us, though. As a reminder, if you feel that we missed something or if you want us to cover a different story here on Tech Talk Tuesday, shoot me an email at podcast@zach.com. If you liked the show, please make sure to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. You can also check out all of our other shows at zachs.com/podcasts. A lot of great content there. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.